Our Bible study today takes us into chapter 15 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Now this chapter continues with the pathway of the king in his rejection and records some interesting incidents for our instruction. There is the controversy with the religious critics regarding freedom from traditions. That is followed by a commendation for a Canaanitish woman regarding her expression of faith. And finally, there is the compassion of the Lord for the weary and hungry multitude. So the first part of the chapter then, the first 20 verses, has to do with the controversy with the traditionalists. Let us read those verses before we examine their message. Matthew chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the jaw? For those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man." Let us pause there in our reading now and examine this section. I suggest that right here we have the controversy with the traditionalists. Let us take it in three stages. Number one, there's a word of condemnation to the hypocrite. Number two, a word of explanation to the multitude. Number three, a word of exhortation to the disciples. So you have three groups of people here who are being spoken to or spoken about by the Lord. In the opening part, where he speaks the word of condemnation to the hypocrites, we have the traditions of men set out over against the truth of God. Now we ask ourselves this question. What is most important? The traditions of men or the truth of God? To all my listeners, I would say this even now. What do you consider is the thing that is most important? Do you place more importance upon the traditions of men or the truth of God? If the traditions of men are in agreement with the truth of God, then these traditions are good traditions. But if the traditions of men violate the truth of God, then we must be guided by the truth of God. In plain words, do we place all the importance on external ceremonies, or do we place the value upon internal condition? What does God require? The words of our mouth or the worship of our heart? What do you think is more important? Do you think that God is impressed with the words of our mouth more than with the worship of our heart? What does God accept? A man may be bound in the grave clothes of tradition and be a spiritual corpse. Let us go into that in a little detail. Away back in the Old Testament, when God redeemed his people Israel, he gave them the law. Not only the Ten Commandments, but he gave them a ceremonial law. That was to guide them in their religious devotion. As time went on, you discovered there were men who added to that. And especially between the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You never read of Pharisees way back in the Old Testament, but these men seem to come into prominence sometime during that period between Malachi and Matthew, after the remnant had come back from the captivity and settled again in the land. You have this group of men who were called the Pharisees. Now these Pharisees introduced a lot of traditions. Traditions of men. Now here in chapter 15 then, it's these things that come into prominence. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Now it's they who come and raise the issue. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Now they admitted this, it was the tradition of the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. I understand from others that these traditions were such that the Pharisees not only washed their hands, but that they washed them in a special way. They had to hold their hands in a particular way and wash them. And if they didn't wash their hands according to the traditions of the Pharisees, then they were considered unclean. But remember, these were the traditions of men. They couldn't find chapter and verse for it. And since then, that they had no scripture for it, it became a tradition of men. But it's obvious that these Pharisees placed more value upon their traditions than what they did upon the truth of God. Now, let us try and examine the condition of things at the present time. Isn't it true that in religious circles today, we have become the victims of tradition? If a thing is said often enough, and cried loud enough, and practiced often enough, people will almost accept it as if it was the truth of God. Yet when you examine it and you ask them for the scripture for it, they discover there's no scripture. I ask you in all fairness, my friend, as you listen to my voice now, and we are seeking to examine the Word of God, in your religious observances, can you find scripture for what you do? Is it possible that in religious circles today there are certain things being done for which there's no scriptural basis. Now I remember on one occasion being in conversation with a certain religious leader. I asked him how he could possibly do a certain thing. As I pointed out to him, he had no scripture for it. He admitted right away, he said, I admit there is no scriptural precedent for it, but it's one of the traditions of our church. So therefore, he was quite prepared to go ahead with it. It was a tradition of his church, while they had no scripture for doing it. Now, it wouldn't have been at all out of place if the thing had been right in itself. But since it created not only a diversion from the scripture, but it was a deception, and people were led to believe a wrong thing, then of course it's wrong. Here was a case where the traditions of men was cutting across the truth of God. Now again, I want to repeat this. If the tradition fits in with the truth of God, then it's a good tradition. But if the tradition has simply been a tradition of men and introduced and violates some truth of God, then it's a bad tradition and must not be given the preeminent place. You see, these people came to the Lord. They were raising a controversy here, and they're saying, your disciples don't wash their hands properly. All right? The Lord said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now there the Lord was able to speak to them and show that they were placing their value upon the wrong thing, and they themselves were actually violating the commandments of God. And yet they thought they were all right because they kept the traditions of their fathers. I ask you, my friend, in all fairness again, what do you make the standard for what you believe and the standard for what you practice? Is it the truth of God or the traditions of men? Away back in the days of Martin Luther, the great reformer, and remember, he was only one of the reformers, what happened was this, that these men began to realize that the traditions of men didn't bring peace to the conscience. The traditions of men had violated the truth of God. And only when they turned back to the Bible and began to learn the truth of God were they liberated from the traditions of men. And not only at the time of the Great Reformation, but time and time again, men as individuals and groups of people have come to the conclusion that it's far more important to turn back to the Word of God and to adjust ourselves to what the Bible teaches. And if the truth of God violates or cuts across the traditions of men, we've got to be guided by the truth of God. So don't let us condemn people because they do not keep the traditions of men, but let us stand true. And men who violate the truth of God by their traditions stand to be condemned. The Lord condemned them. Now he turns to the multitude in verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Now here he's speaking to the multitude. No doubt these Pharisees, these hypocrites, some of them at least may have been standing around, for he has brought them right to the very point, and he's telling them that in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So their worship was a vain thing. Now if they're still standing listening while he speaks to the multitude, he's saying to the multitude, I want you to hear. And I want you to understand this truth. Now, when he turns his attention to the crowd and explains that corruption is a state of the heart and expresses itself by what comes out of the mouth. You see, these Pharisees were trying to make believe that because his disciples didn't wash their hands and didn't wash them in a particular way, according to the traditions of the Pharisees, then they were defiling themselves. And if they were eating their food with unwashing hands, etc., etc., they were defiled men. The Lord is showing this. It's not what goeth into the mouth that defiles a man, but it's that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth a man. And he shows that food that goes into the mouth, it can be carried right through the system and can be got rid of in a proper way. But now he's telling about what comes out. What comes out of the man comes out of the heart. See, the mouth speaketh out of the abundance of the heart. What is in a man's heart, that is what he expresses with the mouth. So says the Lord, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. After all, these Pharisees were priding themselves in the fact that their hands were washed and clean before they started to eat. But at the same time, out of their mouth, there was coming words of condemnation, words of criticism, and they were condemning the Lord who was sinless. They were speaking against him and speaking against his disciples, and later on we'll see in the study of this book, they determined to put him to death, and they did. But now the Lord is showing here that it's what comes out of the mouth. It's that that defiles a man. The heart expressing by the mouth what is there. Now he shows us what comes out of the mouth. Because when the disciples came, they said, you know, the Pharisees have been offended. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. In plain words, he shows that these great leaders, these Pharisees, the men who profess to be leaders of the people in religious things, and were teaching their own traditions instead of the truth of God, he says, are blind. They've got no spiritual discernment. They've got no spiritual sight. And the people that are following them are also blind. And so you have blind leaders. And the people who are led are blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now remember, if they had been following him, they would not be walking in darkness. They would not be blind, because he is the light. And one who follows him is walking in the light. But now, he's telling them this, that these men are blind, leaders of the blind. And then he uses a little parable now, and then after the parable, saying that anything that had been planted, which was not planted by his Father, that would be rooted up. Now Peter didn't quite understand that, and he asked for an explanation. And so he got the explanation, and also there's a word of exhortation to the disciples, showing that only that which is planted by God can bring forth fruit to please God. You see, if you think of a plant, and if his heavenly Father hasn't planted it or rooted up, it will bear no fruit. But then every plant that his heavenly Father has planted, that can bear fruit. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, here's the explanation and here is the exhortation. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. Now these are the things that defile. A man is defiled by evil thoughts. These are the things that come out. And they come out in murders, adulteries. A man doesn't commit murder because he doesn't wash his hands. He doesn't commit adultery because he doesn't wash his hands. Of course not. These are things that proceed from the evil heart. Is what comes out of the heart. And these are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. See, after all, only that which is planted by God then can bring forth fruit to please God. That is the truth of God, not the traditions of men. We don't please God by keeping the traditions of men, but we please God by producing fruit as the result of obeying the truth of God. That which pertains to man's traditions must be rooted up and destroyed. Don't let us build on these things. Let us build on the truth of God. Now these Pharisees were blind, and we pointed out that if the blind lead the blind, then both will fall into the ditch and be lost. Therefore, the exhortation would be, let them alone. Be separate from them. Don't build upon the traditions of the Pharisees. Rather, build upon the truth of God. Isn't it strange at the present time, there's a lot of people who are following the blind. That is, those who are spiritually blind. We have in the world today a great number of religions. And a lot of these religious cults cannot stand up to the test of the Word of God because they've been built up and based upon the traditions of men, men's false ideas. Has it ever seemed strange to you, dear listener, how it comes that people who otherwise would be very intelligent in business perhaps, intelligent in other ways, and yet, when it comes to things religious, they're prepared to remain blind and follow their blind leaders. And so today we have thousands of people who are being misled by traditions of men. Now my appeal to all my listeners today would be this. In these days in which we live, we need to take the words of the Lord Jesus. We need to get back again to the basic truth of the Word of God. When he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And if you root up a plant, that puts the end to it. It'll die and produce nothing. And that which is according to the traditions of men and not according to the truth of God will meet its end in being plucked up. But that which is according to the truth of God will produce fruit for God. So therefore it becomes us. It becomes us, I suggest, to get back to the Word of God and to listen to what the Lord has to say. It's not the idea of washing the hands and keeping the traditions of the Pharisees that's going to count. He has said unto them, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of God. Here then was the Lord's controversy with the traditionalists. And I suggest that controversy is still going on. The devil is still busy. The devil has brought up the traditions of men. And he's tried, as it were, to corrupt the truth of God with these traditions. Therefore, it becomes us to take all the things that we believe and all the things that we practice and test them by the straight line of the Word of God. Do they find a place in the Scriptures? For example, I suppose most of the people listening to my voice today would say that somehow, some way, sometime, they expect to have a place in God's heaven. If that's so, my friend, I ask you, on what basis do you expect God to accept you or receive you? And the thing that you believe, could you prove it from the Word of God? If not, is it possible that you're simply building on the traditions of men because that you've joined yourself to some party? And because you have submitted to their ordinances, and because you subscribe to what they teach, you think that will make you all right for God's heaven. Oh, my friend, it may be that you're still blind. It may be you're still being led by a blind leader. And the Lord says, both shall fall into the ditch. And so therefore it becomes us to search the heart. Is the heart right with God? The heart is always that part that makes us right or wrong with God. Out of the heart proceed these things.